Jesus Christ is here removing all of our excuses. No one of us can say of Jesus Christ, you don't understand, or you don't have my position or my station in life. No. What he's done here is he's removed every last excuse that we have.
Welcome to Glimpses of Calvary, and thank you for joining us. Glimpses of Calvary is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio. Join us now as our pastor, Gordon Dixon, opens the Word of God to us.
If you take your Bibles, please, this evening, and turn over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Peter said unto him, verse 8, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. So, Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Look what Peter says in verse 9. Verse 9, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Isn't this typical Peter? You know, he goes from one extreme to the other extreme. No, Lord, not at all. Okay, Lord, all of me. In one fell swoop, the Apostle Peter here does that. What that tells you is that as you're working with people who are immature in their understanding, you're also going to have to deal with their impulsiveness at times. At times, you just watch it, you know, bing-boing, you know, like, what was the old cartoon? Ricochet Rabbit, you know, bing-boing, here they are, they're both ends, they're back and forth. That's the way it's going to be with a lot of people, but I implore you to notice the Lord's patience as the Lord was working with them and dealing with them. Notice his patience in the way he did that. Jesus, in verse 10, Jesus said to them, he that is washed needs not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And now you are clean, but not all. He is using here this matter of washing them with water. He is showing them something about the washing of salvation. We heard the word this morning, the remitting or the wiping away of sins by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He is showing them here that he is capable of cleansing them. And he's also talking to us something about the daily defilement of saints, that when you and I get polluted by the pollutions of this world, there is that need to be washed. But he also says, but not all. There he's referring to Judas Iscariot. But look what he says in verse 11. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. Now this is very troubling to us, but if we're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to look carefully at these principles. First of all, the servant leader gently overcomes the impulsiveness of others, especially with reference to Peter there, overcoming his impulsiveness, not only his immature understanding, but his impulsiveness. But notice further, he also knows he's dealing with a Judas in the same crowd. And so the servant leader is fully aware that some people will never yield themselves to God and to follow him. Now I want you to stop and think about what I'm saying here just for a moment. Do you say to yourself, all right, I will serve. Do you say to the Lord, okay, Lord, I will serve you so that you will produce the effects that I really want? I say to you, that is not a right way to approach that. The Lord Jesus Christ, in this case, was serving someone. He was fully aware that he was serving people, at least one of which, who would never yield himself to God. You say, well then, what really is the point? Ladies and gentlemen, we serve the Lord God. Every message preached from this pulpit ought to be preached with the Lord as the chief audience and not man. We are working at not being men pleasers. We seek to serve the Lord God, knowing full well, remember the Tuesday evening message from a couple Tuesday evenings ago, that when all prophesy, all are sharing the word, that is exactly how the secrets of the heart of the lost are uncovered, and they worship God and will testify that of a truth, God is in you. As this happens, as you and I serve the Lord in exactly this way, we understand that we are serving the Lord, and we are not serving for men's rewards or to be able to produce exactly the effect in others that we were trying to produce. No, we serve the Lord. We are serving Him. We are serving for His reward and not some man's reward. And so it's very important that we see that and understand that if we are to be servant leaders, that we have the right person in mind whom we are serving. By the way, this idea you see, and we've talked about it on many occasions, but you see this throughout the epistles. Do you remember when Peter talks about this in Ephesians, and Paul talks about this in Ephesians, he also talks about it in Timothy, I think you see it in Colossians down around in chapter 3, the latter part of chapter 3. You see him talking about the fact, we serve the Lord Christ. We are not to serve as men pleasers. I love it the way it says in the King James, with eye service, in other words, when they're watching you. No, we serve the Lord Christ. We're serving Him all the time. Jesus Christ here was serving God the Father. He was honoring God the Father. And so even if we do not produce exactly the effects that we would hope for, that we would wish for, we are still servant leaders who serve out of love and serve others in that way. Well, notice, if you will, in verses 12 through 14. So after that he had washed them, washed their feet, and had taken his garments and sat down again, he said unto them, know you what I have done to you? Do you know? And I think what he's saying is here, do you see the significance of what has just happened? He had given them a powerful object lesson, and now he's going to draw it down to a very specific principle so that they clearly understand that. And what he is saying has implications across the generations. In other words, last Sunday evening as we gathered together, and you remember in the Lord's Supper, I love that last phrase, he said, and this you shall do as a memorial of my death until I come. There is a powerful way in which the Lord's Supper connects do show his death until he come. It makes a powerful connection across the generations. What he is saying here is that if we will be servant leaders like our Lord Jesus Christ, if we will serve in exactly the way that he served, it has a powerful impact upon generation to generation. What does Moses pray in Psalm 90? Lord, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. As you and I learn to be servant leaders in this way, it's very powerful. So the Lord Jesus Christ says here, do you know what I've done to you? Verse 12. He says in verse 13, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. They called Jesus Master and Lord, and that was exactly the right thing to say. In fact, that was a reflection of reality, of truth. But look what he says in verse 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. He says, in the very same way that he has served us, we ought to be serving others. Now, folks, I ask the question this evening again. Do we recognize that the sovereign God is the serving God? And if the sovereign God is the serving God and he commands us that we ought to serve others in the very same way that he serves us, doesn't it mean that we ought to continually reevaluate our lives, our methods, the way that we do things, in order that we would clearly communicate a right picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? He says in verse 14, you ought also to wash one another's feet. I think we see at least these two principles. First of all, in verses 12 through 14, the servant leader creates opportunities to teach others the right motives of servant leadership. By the way, I think it's very important for all of us to do, that you and I would use this as a teaching tool, that we would also create opportunities to do this. But there's more here. You see in verses 15 and 16, I think we can see this principle. Those who would follow the servant leader Jesus Christ must follow his example in order to demonstrate servant leadership to generations to come. Now let's test it. Let's find out if that is exactly what is taught in those verses. Look what it says in verse 15 and 16. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, that word there, when he says verily, verily, amen, amen. When you and I say amen, it's a reflection of what's here. And by the way, it's interesting, in their culture, they would often say amen, amen, and then they would say what they're going to say. You and I hear it, and we say amen. They would say amen, amen, or truly, truly, verily, verily. Watch what he says in verse 16. I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Folks, Jesus Christ is here removing all of our excuses. No one of us can say of Jesus Christ, you don't understand, or you don't have my position or my station in life. No. What he's done here is he's removed every last excuse that we have. I love the way that the Lord does that for us to clearly communicate. Look at verse 17. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. May I ask this evening, are you genuinely happy? Do you have that joy in service that just bleeds right through the circumstances around you? Jesus Christ was showing us in this passage a path to joy, a path to happiness. You see, folks, what he has done is he has given us a cause to live for, a cause that is outside of ourselves. Here is the source of much of our misery. We're serving ourselves. We're intent only on trying to make sense out of how to serve ourselves and how to be happy and joyous in doing it. After all, the whole world talks this way. The whole world says, look, if you want to be happy, here's how you do it. And they think in terms of giving vent to your lust or serving your nerve endings or you calling the shots, you getting to be your own good God, that you sort of control things and you run things and then you'll be happy. And person after person in this room could stand and testify, and I don't know how many testimonies I've seen over the years of people who came to Christ and said there's no happiness in it. There's no joy in it. Even when the whole world is just reaching for the gold, they're reaching for the gold prize and say, if I could just have so much money or so much power or so some position or some control, then I'd be happy. And they get there and it's like trying to eat cotton candy in a rainstorm. It just all dissolves and all you have left is a paper cone. Now, folks, let's ask ourselves the question this evening. Could we not learn from what the Lord Jesus Christ is showing us here? Again, look what he says in verse 17. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I think principle number 11 that we can gather here is this. Servant leader knows that the greatest joy in life comes through serving others in a God-honoring manner. If you and I truly love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our might, then we will employ the Lynn factor. Love your neighbor now. I want to point out to you that as we enter into this new series of ministries, a new fall season, Pastor Forehand talked tonight about the frontline clubs and so many other things coming up. Notice on your screen here that you have the passing of a baton. May I point out it's from one generation to another generation. And here is what the generation that is with us here and they are following along behind us, here's what the teenagers want to know from the adults. Here's what the children want to know from the teenagers and the adults. They want to know, is there really joy and fulfillment in life? Is there happiness and joy ahead as I honestly serve the Lord? The answer from the Lord Jesus Christ himself is, that is exactly what is happening in all of our lives.
Thank you for joining us for Glimpses of Calvary. This is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, 2000 Broad Avenue in Findlay, Ohio, 45840. That address again is 2000 Broad Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, 45840. Please join us again each weekday at this same time as we look for Glimpses of Calvary.